truth. Glenn Beck.
Pat Gray for Glenn. 888-727-BECK. Glenn is on vacation. He'll be back on Monday. There is a lot to talk about. A lot of new developments in the Las Vegas shooting, some of which confirmed, some of which, well, actually not much of anything is confirmed, but there's a lot of speculation. And the sheriff in Las Vegas has opened up some questions, maybe some cans of worms that I'm sure the FBI probably doesn't appreciate. For instance, asking if he'd been radicalized. Here's what he said yesterday.
I want to understand the motivation that you describe, okay, to prevent any future incidents. And, you know, did this person get radicalized unbeknownst to us? And we want to identify that source.
So was he radicalized as in Islamic extremism? The FBI has stated emphatically on multiple occasions that they don't see any tie between him and terror groups at all. But he has brought up a few issues, like the radicalization, and was there a second shooter? Which others think is highly likely as well, because this guy had no military training at all. And he was kind of a pudgy 64-year-old guy. Apparently, these weapons are difficult to handle and maneuver, and it's just not easy to just go into a room and start mowing people down with these things. And Zero Hedge had a list of 16 questions. Some of them, I think, have been answered. Others are maybe somewhat valid. One of the questions they ask is the photo of Stephen Paddock's hotel room has been leaked, and it appears that there's a suicide note on the desk, and we haven't been told about that at all. Nobody's said what the contents of that were.
No, I think it was, but they said it was not a suicide.
They did say it was not a suicide note. And were there additional shooters? A taxi driver reportedly captured video of an automatic weapon being fired out of a lower level window. I don't see how that's possible, because those windows don't open. You have to break them out, which is what he did from the 32nd floor. So there's no other broken windows. So I discount that one, too. Law enforcement authorities were discussing another suspect on the fourth floor, but that happens all the time in the early moments of these kinds of shootings. There's always chaos, and there's almost always the threat that there's a second shooter. They're always asking that question, and it almost always turns out to be not the case. How did he get 42 guns and several thousand rounds of ammo into his hotel room without anyone noticing? I don't know. Well, suitcases, luggage?
Yeah.
I don't know.
He was there since Thursday.
Right.
He was there
he was
Thursday.
There days in advance.
You come and go. Nobody, you come in with a couple of bags at a time.
How did someone with no military background and wasn't a gun guy at all operate such advanced weapons? That's another one of their questions. You know, not being a gun guy myself, I don't know how big a deal that is. I have an AR-15. It looks like some of the weapons he had were AR-15-ish. And it's not that hard to operate. You know, you point and shoot. But he had the bump stock weapons, the bump fire stock. And so it wasn't an automatic weapon, right? It was the bump fire thing. Also, one of the weirdest things that happened that has not been answered yet at all by anyone that I've heard is, who was that woman telling people in the crowd 45 minutes before the shooting began that they were all going to effing die? Is that, and then he ordered room service for two. Now, either he was just having a really big last meal, or somebody was with him. Was it her? I don't know.
It's possible,
it's
right?
It's possible. Yeah.
It's also possible that you have crazy people running through a concert telling them they're all going to die.
But what a weird coincidence that would be. Really weird coincidence. Why did it take law enforcement? Now, we were told, including by the president, that law enforcement got there. They found out where he was so quickly. It took him 72 minutes to get into his hotel room. 72 minutes. That doesn't seem that quick to me. I mean, the shooting had stopped for over an hour before they finally got into his room.
Yeah, that doesn't seem quick, but, you know.
But, I'm not a law enforcement official, so I don't know if that's
floor by floor, even though you know where the windows are blown out. You don't know what's happening below those windows, above them. You know, you're moving through that. So
apparently they spent some time on the 31st floor looking for him, right. And then they realized it was above them. Why did he wire $100,000 to the Philippines? Was it just for the girlfriend? Did she know what was about to happen? She was interviewed by authorities a little bit yesterday, and we expect more extensive interviews and statements coming out later on today.
Yeah, the FBI said that one of the reports was not only that they were questioning her, but that she was assisting them, right? So that sounds like she was actually, you know, trying to help.
Right.
And figure out what happened.
Also, he was on antidepressants. Could that have contributed to this? Now, there was extensive planning, so it's not like he just snapped because he took a pill and it went wrong in his head. I mean, there was some extensive planning going on here. In fact, I was reading a story yesterday that wondered if he'd been planning this for decades. That doesn't seem likely, but maybe. I don't know.
And then there were also reports that he had rented another room down the strip. And was scoping out a concert that took place the week before that, didn't transpire, obviously. But, I mean, was this the secondary concert? Like, couldn't get the first one right, so I'll do this one.
Maybe.
We may never know.
Yeah, that's true.
The way that the sheriff has acted with, you know, he believed that there's no way this guy worked alone. And by that, I think he means more that somebody has to know what this guy was up to. It seemed like the sheriff was like, somebody had to know he didn't do all this by himself. Maybe he did.
Maybe.
I mean, we obviously
the sheriff seems to think that's a superhuman effort if he did.
Right. But, you know, look.
I don't
he
know.
Did.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, we all want the why closure.
It's also incredibly strange that a man that wealthy would do something like this. I can't think of an instance of this happening with a wealthy person ever before. Has it with a millionaire? How many millionaires go out and commit mass murder? Not that many.
No,
not that many.
I'm guessing the percentage
is fairly rare. Yeah, it's fairly rare. And then the question about why a country music festival was chosen as a target. Is that because you believe mostly conservatives are gathered there? Is this a political statement? Do you think they're Trump supporters and you're justified in what you're doing?
Or was it the secondary point? Because the concert the week before was, I think it was a rap show. So, they were saying that, so that confused them as to why he did the country one. Why?
Hopefully we'll get some answers, but we may not. You know, we just may never know. 888-727-BECK, 888-727-BECK. Also, Michael Moore has shared some wisdom because the Second Amendment to the Constitution is so ancient outdated. And so he's done a little bit of an upgrade for us. And all we have to do is accept the brilliant work he's done and ratify this as the 28th Amendment to the Constitution.
Nice.
Which, of course, repeals the Second Amendment.
He's already put the work in.
And here's what would happen. He says, as over 90% of gun violence is committed by men, in order for a man to purchase a gun, he must first get a waiver from his current wife, plus his most recent ex-wife, or any woman with whom he is currently in a relationship. If he's gay, he must get the waiver from his male spouse or partner. Okay. This law has greatly reduced most spousal domestic gun murders in Canada. Canada has such a rule? That can't be.
If you say so.
That can't be. Further, all automatic and semi-automatic guns are banned. Oh, okay. Sure. No gun or clip can hold more than 6 bullets. To activate a gun for it to be used, the trigger must recognize the fingerprint of the registered owner. This will eliminate most crimes committed with a gun, as 80% of these crimes are done with a stolen gun. one's guns must be stored at a licensed gun club or government-regulated gun storage facility. Believing that having a gun in your home provides you with protection is an American myth, is it? Well, tell that to the people who've used a gun for protection in their homes. People who die from a home invasion make up a sad but minuscule 0.04% of all gun murders in the United States. And over a third of them are killed by their own gun that the criminal has either stolen or wrestled from them. To own and operate a gun, one must obtain a license, like one does to operate a car. To get a license, you have to complete a gun training and safety course and pass through a background check. As nearly half of all gun deaths are suicides, mental health care must become a top national priority and must be properly funded. And by making it more difficult to purchase a gun and requiring its storage outside the home, easy access during a suicidal moment is denied. Current restrictions placed on Centers for Disease Control due to successful lobbying by the NRA have prohibited them from studying the gun violence epidemic in the United States. These rules need to be removed and the funding restored. For those who believe it's impossible to do all this, let me close by sharing with you two important facts. One, we are not a country of gun nuts. 77% of all Americans do not own a gun. If three quarters of the country has decided they have no need for a gun, three quarters of the country may also decide they have no need for an archaic amendment. Well, let's do a survey on that. Let's find out who believes the Second Amendment's archaic and who believes it's still necessary. When President Obama tried to get Congress to pass simple, common-sense gun control legislation after the massacre at Sandy Hook Elementary, polls showed 90% of the country backed him. Yeah, well, that's because they didn't understand what was being said there. I mean, those kinds of polls are easily spun, and that one certainly was. I mean, Michael Moore, this is just insanity. We need to check into the Canadian law, though, because I don't believe that in order to get a gun in Canada, you got to get a permission slip from your wife. Heck, that just can't be. 888-727-BECK. It's Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program.
Glenn Beck.
Great for Glenn and Jeffy here too. You can listen to me now every weekday, Monday through Friday, on the Blaze Radio Network, noon Eastern. 888-727-BECK. Another great story of an American hero is this security guard, the hotel security guard. Guy's unarmed. His name is Jesus Campos. He had no weapon, and he's the one who finally figured out that the killer was on the 32nd floor. And he approached the hotel room, and the psycho inside fired through the door, hitting him in the leg. Well, he stayed there, got police involved. When the police approached the room, Paddock fired about 200 rounds through the door at the police officers. So they fell back and waited for SWAT to come. But even though Jesus Campos was wounded, he'd been shot in the leg, he continued to go door to door to clear the floor to make sure of the safety of the people staying on in that hotel on that floor. Amazing. To make sure that they didn't become victims as well. He was so committed that the police officers had to order him to leave because he was wounded and he needed to be tended to. Pretty amazing.
No kidding.
And then finally, about an hour after Paddock quit firing, the SWAT team entered the hotel room by blowing the doors off with explosives. And that's when he was found dead from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. But what an amazing guy this Jesus Campos must be. He said, security professionals... in those kinds of venues, whether it's a bank or a hotel or Disney World, I'm telling you that I don't think our officers are recognized enough for the valuable role that they play in protecting property, people, and even the nation. It's for sure.
Tough to argue that.
Yeah, it sure is. So Campos was well enough to try to leave the hospital not long after the shooting. He wanted to leave right away, even that night, but was kept there by staff and police who wanted to monitor him and just make sure that everything was okay. Pretty amazing guy and deserves an awful lot of credit. Just a lot of bravery from that guy. 888-727 Beck. Mark in Idaho. You're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Idaho, you mean Indiana.
Oh, is it India? Okay. It says Idaho on the screen.
Idaho, same thing.
No, Indiana, totally. We're the corn state.
Okay.
Yeah, but when they take our weapons away, people are just going to resort to improvised explosive devices. It'll do even more damage. Yeah. They'll come up with other ways. You know, if you've got a psycho out there, and it's not the mental illness or nothing like that, they're going to find out this guy probably, and I'll just, he planned it out very well. He wasn't military trained, you're right, but anybody can do this. You know, like in the military, we were told, you know, be careful, you know, them little Israeli women, you know, you mess with them, they'll mess you up. And everybody laughed about it until, you know, one of them got a hold of somebody, you know, just during practice and stuff. So, yeah, I don't believe we should be messing with our gun laws and stuff. I don't know about this thing in Canada where you got to ask your wife's permission. Oh, my God, you know how many women would get even with their husband? Oh, I would marry that prick for, you know, how long? And look at this. You know, no, don't give him no weapons. You know?
Right. Yeah.
You know, nobody will get to go hunting or anything. And it's, you know, this is all just like they don't, you know, I was telling the guy before that interviewed me. The way it goes, you know, like with the health care stuff, they do not want to do anything for the people. These politicians, they don't even have Obamacare. They're supposed to, but, you know, they perjured themselves and said they're for a business of 45 employees or less, and they've got special insurance that covers everything.
Yeah.
Where with my wife and I, I'm a disabled vet. My wife has the Obamacare. She loses it about every other month. We have to fight and do this bureaucracy paperwork, and, you know, they just want to add more and more on top of you, and she doesn't get the health care. You know, she's almost died a few times with it. Our government is not taking care of us. They're not helping us, and they're not trying to fix the solution. You know, they just want to block Trump just out of, you know, hate and discontent and keep us busy paying attention to the mama drama instead of standing up and saying, look, we're going to kick you to the curb, start doing what we need you to do, and that is take care of the people and pass laws and fix things that's supposed to be fixed. Quit spending our money on junk.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, the problem is we don't kick them to the curb often enough. Mark, it's if we kicked them to the curb through the election process a lot more than we do, we wouldn't have a lot of the problems we have. So some of this is self-inflicted because we just keep voting them back into office over and over and over again. So part of it is our fault, but you're right. They certainly aren't concerned about the will of the people. Appreciate the call. Thanks. Jason in Florida. Hi, you're on with Pat Gray. Jason?
You're reading Michael Moore's demand list. Uh-huh. He kind of undermined his own argument and anybody in support of gun control when he said that 80% of these crimes are committed with stolen guns. Then yeah. Why would you want to impose gun control?
It's silly. You know, I mean, the guy is a lunatic, but we knew that already. That's not a surprise to very many people. 888-727 Beck, 888-727 BECK. It's Pat Gray for Glenn on the Glenn Beck program.
Glenn Beck. Thank you. is the Glenn Beck Program.
With Pat Gray today and Jeffy. Strange how much talking the brother of this killer is doing. Usually the families of these guys kind of lay low and don't really want to talk a lot. This guy seems to enjoy talking to the media.
Yeah. It's strange because we've often said that people don't realize a lot of times when they're put in the spotlight, you don't have to talk to the cameras.
No.
You know, the object, you can go, when they come to your front yard, you can say, no, thank
away.
You.
Or not go out there.
Right.
Not face them at all.
Just because they show up at your house doesn't mean you have to talk to
them. He's out in his driveway with this gaggle of media. Looks like 2, 4, 6, 8, maybe 10 cameras and reporters. And he kind of held court with them for half an hour in a rambling televised interview in Florida. The brother of the killer said, we're wealthy people. $100,000 isn't that much money. He gambled that much through a machine in hours. He's got the highest level of membership card at a lot of these hotels. If a lot of these hotels say they don't know Steve, they're lying. But his brother also didn't love the casino. The casino was a means to an end. The casino to him was like a job in Toyota in Japan, where you live in the Toyota apartments across the street, and then you go to the Toyota factory to work. That's what the casino was to him. It's a place where you lived, and they were nice to you, and you could get paid by playing slots.
People would bring you sandwiches and drinks.
Well, yeah, and pay for vacations.
I mean,
the casinos, if you spend a lot of money with them, they do put you up for free. You know, they pay for your dinners a lot of times because they know they're gonna get you in the end. they know you're gonna lose a lot of money to them. Yeah, that's
what.
They're not just really wonderful philanthropists. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Huh.
Yeah. His brother says he didn't have a lot of friends. He was a private person. There's a story about he kept his shades closed and he didn't talk to me for the first 3 times he saw me walking in the neighborhood. Wow, that makes him really weird, doesn't it? He was a private guy.
No.
That's why you can find out anything about him. That's why there's no pictures. Is he such a weirdo because he didn't have a Facebook page and posted 50,000 pictures of himself every day? Who's weird? Wow, the brother is...
Thank you.
Pretty adamant about defending this guy.
He sure is.
Who just murdered 58 people and injured 500 more. But I guess, he's his brother.
Well,
so.
Yeah. Right. He's just like everyone else trying to make sense of what happened.
And you can't.
I don't
you can't make
you
any
can.
Sense out of this. They're trying to turn to the, maybe it was the antidepressant that turned him aggressive. I don't know.
Okay.
There's a heck of a lot of planning that went into this. And so he didn't just snap because he planned this for a long time. And he even barricaded the stairwells at the hotel so that his police couldn't get up to him via the stairs. They had to take the elevator to get up there. Which is what I'd rather do anyway. I'm not getting to the 32nd floor, I'll tell you that. Not in the stairwell.
But you're a police officer. I don't care.
Yeah. Uh-oh. I'm sorry. Taking the elevator. Matt in New York. Hi. Welcome.
How you doing?
Doing good.
How you doing? Hey, listen, I'm a dual citizen, Canada and U.S. I go back and forth quite a bit. I have guns in both countries legally. I don't carry them over the border, though. I never want to get into that.
Yeah.
But in Canada... the question has been asked all over the world, why are gun deaths statistically lower in Canada? I don't even know that they are. They could be, but it doesn't seem like we have this kind of a thing in Canada as often. But it is a bit more regulated to get a rifle. You do not need to ask your wife or girlfriend.
Okay.
That I can tell you for sure. They give you a Canadian Firearms Safety Course book. It's about 300 pages. You go to the police station, and you get an extensive background check. They sell you this book. You read it. You go do a written test. Then the Royal Canadian Mounted Police set you up, and you go and do a practical test where you can break down a gun, shoot it, the whole thing, and make sure you're capable.
Yeah.
And those people are trained to look for mental problems, at a certain level. they're only with you for maybe a half an hour, but they're trained to look for certain things, I believe.
Mm.
And then once they pass you, you have a license just like your driver's license, and you're good to go. You can go buy as many rifles as you want, and you need that to buy ammunition, and you're good to go.
Is the gun registered? Is there a national registry?
There was, and the same people that built Obamacare so badly built that registry,
mm-hmm.
and it was a disaster. And the conservative government of Stephen Harper, 9 years ago, he got rid of it. He took it apart.
Did he?
And there is not there. Yes, wow. There is not one anymore.
Huh. All right. Appreciate the info. I didn't think, you know, it doesn't make sense that you would have to get permission from your wife or your girlfriend in order to buy a firearm. That just doesn't make any sense. I don't know where Michael Moore got that, but he alleged that in Canada you have to do that. And that's cut down a lot of the domestic violence there.
Uh-huh. It's greatly reduced. Spousal domestic gun murders in Canada.
Okay, thank you. Tony in Tennessee. Hi, you're on the Glenn Beck program.
Hey, thank you. Yes, sir. 2 points real quick. One thing, he's trying to figure out whether he committed suicide or whatever. I'd like to know who, if he registered the room in his name. I think if he used his own name, it would be an important thing that I haven't heard anyone say yet. But, you know, I think if he used his own name, he probably wasn't planning on escaping. He was going to, you know, use it as Alamo and stand there as the last man. But if he used an alias, I think he was going to try to escape. And also there was a report of aviation fuel tanks being hit, but aviation fuel won't blow up. It's like jet fuel. I mean, diesel fuel, it doesn't ignite. They even did a thing on Mythbusters where they shot a propane tank with a regular round and it won't go off.
There was no confirmation of that story, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of... Yeah, appreciate the call. Thanks, Tony. There's been a lot of reports that are just not true. A lot of what we're hearing from some of the survivors, from some of the people who escaped any kind of injury, was that they heard a second shooter. They heard a second round coming from somewhere else because there was one loud burst and then a more quiet burst kind of in the background. Well, that was the echo of the shots. That's the sound of the shots echoing off buildings and things.
And it is almost a fact that whenever we have a shooting, there's
another gunman. In every single case I can think of, there's a second gunman, and then we find out later on when things calm down, there was no second gunman.
It was just
gunman.
The one guy.
Yeah, just one guy. Elsie in California, hi. Elsie, you there?
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Hi, Pat. Over the weekend, someone tried to break into my home, and it took me 10 seconds to get my gun. And by the time I got it, he had the window open and the screen off. And because I had my gun, I was able to, confront him and yell at him before he got in the house and he left. If I did not have my gun, I would not have had that boldness to yell at him.
Well,
so that gun saved my life. That gun saved his life. So guns really do save lives without even firing a shot.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
That's great for you.
Yeah. I mean, were you alone in the house at the time?
Yes, I was. It was 4 o'clock in the morning and my dogs woke me up.
That's got to be frightening.
And so
it was frightening. Yeah. I got up and went to the window and saw him taking off the screen. Took me less than 10 seconds to get my gun and he was already ready to come inside.
Amazing. Wow.
But if I did not have that gun,
who knows what could have happened to you?
I would have the boldness to yell at him.
Yeah.
What's that?
And who knows what would have happened to you if you didn't have that gun?
Right.
He comes in,
right.
And then who knows? I mean, anything could have happened then.
Right.
So
so he just took off, and you don't know who he is. It's over.
Well, I did recognize him, so I did call 911, and they did pick him up later on that same day.
You recognized him?
Yeah.
It's somebody you knew.
He was from our neighborhood.
Oh,
wow.
So people in our neighborhood knew him.
Wow. Well, and he's fortunate, too, that you
no kidding.
You just warned him and didn't start firing. In Texas, If that happens, you're probably dead. You're just going to get shot. You're just going to, because if you come into somebody's, it's the castle rule is that if somebody's invading your castle in the middle of the night, you have every right just to shoot them. You don't have to, you don't have to say anything to them. You don't have to ask them to leave. You just shoot them.
Yeah. I think, you know, California, as you know, may be a little different. I
think it probably is. Yeah, I think it probably is.
I wanted to wait until he got inside the house before I shot him. But I wanted to warn him to give him a chance to leave.
Yeah, good for you.
So I didn't have to shoot him. No one wants to shoot.
Yeah, no.
So you were being a responsible gun owner. It's an amazing thing.
Yeah. Wow.
Yes, I was.
Appreciate the call. Glad that worked out for
Hills. Wow, no kidding.
That's a real blessing in that case to have a gun. I mean, seriously, she could have been badly injured, hurt, raped. I mean, a million different things could have happened.
And killed. So could have the criminal.
Right. Janet in Georgia. Welcome. Hi.
Yeah, in Georgia, he'd be dead, too.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Hi, Pat and Jeff. I just, you know, aside from the conversation about Vegas, I wanted to address an issue that's been on my mind for a long time, and that is why and how does conservative media, talk radio, allow the liberal media to always, every day, control the narrative?
I don't know that the conservative media does allow them. It seems to me to be the politicians, because it seems like, I mean, we're doing what we can to defend gun rights, to defend common sense. But which
is exactly. We are always on the defensive.
Always. That's true. It's true. Yeah. And it's the politicians who won't do anything about this to go on the offensive. And they're continually shouted down by the left in this country because they're told that we don't want to have this conversation. What do you mean we don't want to have this conversation? We have this conversation every single time there's a shooting. What are you talking about? We don't have the conversation. It's all we do is talk about this. It's all we do. And we tell you every time it's not about the gun. It is about the people. And you won't deal with the real issues here. It's about the people.
And it's not just about gun rights. On every social issue, on the budget, on Mexico, or
absolutely
Puerto Rico, all of these conversations are directed by the liberal media, and we seem to be defending ourselves. When I think if we just ignore what they say and can start controlling the narrative. By not even allowing the discussion to take place. So today you go on air and you say, okay, this is what we're going to discuss, and we're going to ignore the nonsense.
Yeah, except if we did that, if we ignored their discussion, they might build momentum and finally get rid of guns as they've planned to do for so long. I don't know. I don't know if that's the way to go. I just appreciate the call, Janet. I just know that you're right in that we're always on the defensive, and Republicans in office, conservatives in office, can't seem to defend themselves and their points of view at all. 888-727-BECK. It's Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn. He's back on Monday. 888-727-BECK. Kind of an interesting press conference with Cam Newton the other day. Cam Newton, the quarterback of the Carolina Panthers. We just take ourselves so incredibly seriously now.
We sure do.
Yeah, we can't let anything go. We just can't let anything go. And I'm not a huge Cam Newton fan. But is this legitimate? Feminists are all upset over this because a female reporter asked Cam a question. Here's what happened.
I know you take a lot of pride in seeing your receivers play well. Devin Funchess has seemed to really embrace the physicality of his routes and getting those extra yards. Does that give you a little bit of an enjoyment to see him kind of truck sticking people out there?
It's funny to hear a female talk about routes. Like, it's funny.
Listen to the dead silence in the room. No other reporter laughs. Nobody does anything except sit there in shock and horror. Did he say it was funny to hear a woman talk about wide receiver routes? Oh, no.
But fun is coming along, man. We're gonna.
And then he realizes his mistake and just goes on with it. Is it really that big a deal?
Come
on. Feminists are all pissed off. They're all upset about it.
No.
Dare he say it was funny to hear a woman talk about it. I mean, is it sexist? Is it true that more men than women actually pay attention to football? I would say yes.
I'd say yes to that, too.
I would say that's probably very true. That doesn't mean that all women don't know anything about football. But boy, anytime something like this happens, he's the worst person in the world.
I would have to say, you know, Cam probably doesn't go to her house and talk about cleaning.
Oh, man.
How about
nice.
Glenn Beck.